the 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com newsroom, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. I'm Gary Stevens. This news is brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. The forecasters say we should get some sunshine this afternoon. Hasn't come yet, though. We'll look at Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com following this news. Up till last week, it was a relatively mild summer along the lakeshore. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to get a mild winter.
The latest Farmer's Almanac will be released next week, and it's predicting a bitterly cold winter for Michigan. Managing editor Sandy Duncan.
We think this winter for most of the country is going to be quite cold, and in your neck of the woods, we're actually using the adjective biting cold.
And she says that'll come with a lot of snow. Duncan says never mind the National Weather Service. The Farmer's Almanac uses a tried and true method of weather prediction.
The long-range forecast from the Farmer's Almanac comes from a mathematical and astronomical formula that's been fine-tuned since 1818, and it takes things like sunspot activity, tidal action of the moon, and position of the planets. And with that formula, we try to predict what may come 6 months to 12 months down the road.
The Farmer's Almanac has been around for 117 years now. Andrew Green reporting.
A 37-year-old Overijssel Township man goes before a judge for a third time this month at a scheduled preliminary hearing in Allegan District Court today. Tobias Westenberg had been wanted for more than a year after allegedly stabbing his estranged wife and a man at a 134th Avenue residence. The unnamed victim survived their wounds. While Westenberg, who was initially described as potentially suicidal, was last seen in the area of the Blue Star Highway and I-196 north of Saugatuck a short time after the incident. Tips that he may be working for a vendor at a large motorcycle rally in the Black Hills of South Dakota led local police to spot and arrest him earlier this month, and Westenberg waived extradition to Michigan. He faces attempted murder and felonious assault counts, among other charges, and remains in the Allegan County Jail on a $200,000 bond. Meanwhile, plea deals have been and continue to be in the works for a couple of cousins accused of sexually assaulting a 14-year-old Bloomingdale girl. In Allegan District Court yesterday, 24-year-old Jaime Ledesma II testified in the preliminary hearing of his cousin, 23-year-old former Bloomingdale High Boys Junior Varsity basketball coach Adrian Ledesma. The two men are accused of sexting the victim and then assaulting her in a field near Adrian Ledesma's home in southern Allegan County last June. Jaime Ledesma spoke as part of a plea deal with prosecutors, while Adrian Ledesma waived the rest of his hearing and was bound over for trial, pending his own agreement with authorities. Both men remain free on $10,000 bond each. During tonight's work-study session, the Holland City Council will discuss the future of the Holland Civic Center and the possibility of asking for a bond vote to renovate the structure. A report was presented last week with various options, and Mayor Kurt Dykstra and his fellow council members will consider whether to select an alternative marketing study approach or to go with alternative funding and design options that were brought up initially this past spring.
The demands for bathroom space, the demands for locker room space, the demands for concession space in the year 2013 or 14 are probably significantly different than what they were in 1952. And, you know, that facility is very much lacking in those kinds of amenities. So we need to do things to bring those parts of the facility up to a more modern standard that make it an attractive place for people to want to use, want to rent, and, you know, happy to be there.
There is also talk of tying in the Civic Center work with upgrading 8th Street to provide a consistent streetscape from downtown to Collin Park. The only thing missing in the state Senate chambers last night was ring announcer Michael Buffer. An atmosphere of a championship boxing match was evident to some as the upper chamber needed two tries and several hours of backroom arm twisting before passing Governor Snyder's Healthy Michigan Initiative on a 2018 vote.
Sometimes the process has some challenges and difficulties, but the main thing is we got it done. I view this as a good exercise in relentless positive action. We just stayed positive, it took a couple efforts, and we got her done, and off to the House, and hopefully get that approved next week.
This is more of the rule rather than the exception in Lansing and at other centers of government.
This is something that just shows the political process and the political culture and how polarized it's gotten can make things pretty difficult. But I appreciate it. You can still work hard and get through it. And I hope people that are on the other side of this issue are willing to work with us now to say, let's do it, you know, the best way. Because we are going to do it the right way here in Michigan.
But if the sentiments of former state legislator Jack Hogendyke are any indication, Tea Party interests may follow through on previously announced threats to challenge the governor and those GOP senators who had supported this measure in next year's elections.
I love Tom Casterson. He's a great guy. But if Tom were challenged and defeated, it would send a ripple throughout the entire legislature that if you're a Republican, you need to stand for limited government.
Wes Nakajiri, a founder of a Tea Party-type group in the Lansing area, has already submitted paperwork with the Michigan Secretary of State's office to challenge incumbent Brian Kelly for the GOP nomination as lieutenant governor next year. Some of the most powerful lobbies in the state of Michigan were supportive of expanding Medicaid because they say it just makes sense.
Andy Hetzel with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan says the Blues have backed a Medicaid expansion for quite some time, citing the cost of uncompensated care in the state as one reason.
So we have millions and millions of dollars that are being spent by hospitals across Michigan caring for people who don't have any form of health insurance, including government coverage. And the cost of uncompensated care at the hospital gets passed on to everybody with private health insurance in the state. It's almost a hidden tax on people who have health insurance.
He says alleviating that problem will bring down costs for everyone over time. They also have a website set up to provide education on health care reform at a federal level at healthcarereformbasics.com.
Sam Harold, WHTC News.
While the focus in Lansing was on the Senate and Medicaid reform, there was other work done in Lansing yesterday.
Testimony was heard on Representative Joe Haveman's legislation reforming Michigan's mandatory juvenile life sentence law. The plan reflects a 2012 U.S. Supreme Court ruling striking down mandated life sentences for first-degree murder.
We need to differentiate between those that are the real person that committed the crime versus somebody who came along and for the ride. We need judicial discretion to differentiate between those.
The Joint House-Senate Judiciary Committee will take further testimony in the weeks ahead. Diane Costin, WHTC News.
Although many observers feel that the unrest in Syria had an effect on Tuesday's 170-point drop on the Dow Jones Industrials, along with comparable declines in other stock indices, one Lakeshore-based expert sees some long-range promise for investors. Advisor Kevin Clark of the Holland office of Raymond James says that, despite current events, Wall Street is in the middle innings of a normal correction.
This time of year, August and the month of September, statistically has not been a good time for the market, but we just have an awful lot of things going on that are going to make the markets a little treacherous here, at least for the next 5-6 weeks.
With one big if, there's room for optimism in Clark's crystal ball.
Once we get past September, you know, things do look okay. I would take an opportunity here to buy stocks if we get a little more of a sell-off.
That one big if is how Congress and the White House deal with another looming budget crisis when they get back to work in earnest next month following a summer break. It's back to school season, and with that, many youngsters are packed in tight quarters, so it's a good idea to make sure that the vaccinations are up to date.
Angela Minicucci with the Michigan Health Department says it's required of most preschoolers and kindergartners that they have a certain battery of shots. But she says older kids need their shots too, right through college. She says college kids are even tighter packed than public school children, and dorms can be incubators for all sorts of infectious diseases, from the flu to bacterial meningitis.
So we want to make sure children and college-age youth have their meningitis vaccines.
Kalamazoo College sophomore Emily Stillman died from the virulent infection in February. Jim Whelan, WHTC News.
The Tigers look to bounce back from consecutive home defeats to Oakland when they entertain the Athletics at Comerica Park this evening. Doug Pfister gets the start for Detroit in coverage with Dan Dickerson and Jim Price on 1450 WHTC begins at 6:40 p.m. The Cubs and Dodgers are playing the rubber game of their three-game series in Los Angeles this afternoon with Edwin Jackson on the mound for Chicago. The Bruins return home to welcome Philadelphia to Wrigley Field on Friday afternoon. It's also the rubber game of the series between Houston and the White Sox from U.S. Cellular Field in Chicago this evening. Chris Sale is on the mound for the Sox after last night's 3-2 Chicago victory on the south side over the Astros. The Whitecaps begin their final home series of the regular season this evening with a tri-night doubleheader versus Fort Wayne at Fifth Third Ballpark. West Michigan has an elimination number of 2 in order to prevent not reaching the Midwest League playoffs for a third consecutive year. That's something that has not happened in the franchise's 20 years in suburban Grand Rapids. Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com calls for decreasing cloudiness this afternoon with a high of 86. Clear tonight, low 65. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, high 89. And scattered thunderstorms for Friday, high 86. Water temperature is 69. Green flag is flying in Holland. Yellow cautionary flag in Saugatuck. This news has been brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. Check them out online at yourhometownagency.com. I'm Gary Stevens for 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.